I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. We've talked before in the podcast about how the relationship animals have with their bodies is very different from ours, especially their sense of what constitutes medicine, air quotes, is very different. And I thought in talking about this and in giving you all not that you have to choose one way or the other where it comes to the health care of your animal companions, but maybe to provide a neutral background and certainly offer the animal's eye view, their perspective, on what constitutes, again, air quotes, medicine. And let's start with the human experience perspective. If you look up the word medicine in the dictionary, I'll read a couple of different descriptions that come up on just a Google search for any dictionary out there. The science and art of diagnosing and treating disease or injury and maintaining health. The branch of this science encompassing treatment by drugs, diet, exercise, and other non-surgical means, the practice of medicine, a substance, especially a drug, used to treat the signs and symptoms of a disease, condition, or injury, something that serves as a remedy or corrective, i.e., medicine for rebuilding the economy, measures that were harsh medicine. And then finally, shamanistic practices or beliefs, especially among Native Americans, something such as a ritual practice or sacred object believed to control natural or supernatural powers or serve as a preventative or a remedy. We'll add into this description from human experience the definition of drug. Drug is defined for humans as a therapeutic agent, any substance other than food, which, as an aside, I personally find interesting, used in the prevention, diagnosis, alleviation, treatment, or cure of disease. And if we look just a little bit further back from what we would consider to be traditional medicine or even modern medicine, we come upon the native peoples, the indigenous peoples' relationship with plant-based medicine and I think medicine in general. This is a quote by Mourning Dove. Mourning Dove was the pen name of Christine Quintasket, who was one of the first published Native American women authors. And the quote goes, "Everything on the earth has a purpose, every disease an herb to cure it, and every person a mission. This is the Indian theory of existence." And I really resonate with that, that everything on this planet does have and serve a purpose. And the really interesting thing, as we've often talked before, is that beings in human experience oftentimes spend quite a bit of time searching for the purpose of a thing. We like to study, we like to compare, we like to do all sorts of, I think, external, if you will, things, actions that we perceive somehow gives us the information that that thing that we're studying, be it another person, an animal, plant, a crystal, what have you, has to offer. We somehow choose not to step directly into energetic communication with that thing, that being, and have them share their essence with us, which, of course, is what every single being and animal experience, plant experience, crystal experience would say, which is, we're happy to tell you, all you have to do is ask. And I think animals resonate more with the native people's relationship with the planet than with what has morphed into modern medicine. Out in the wild, they gravitate toward the plants that resonate with whatever temporary dis-ease their bodies have. Peppermint for GI upset, chamomile for calming, lavender for sleep. Because there are at least 7.77 million other animal species than there is our one human species, it stands to reason that the air quotes pharmacy, what we think of as pharmacy, what we think of as medicine, they have at their disposal is equally as astonishing. And I have to say there's quite a bit that animals are puzzled by in how we interact with our own bodies, and to extension, theirs, especially if it is an animal with whom you live. They don't understand why we ignore pain and chalk it up to no pain, no gain. If there's pain or discomfort for them, they stop doing what causes them pain. And at times, they can, to our perception, appear to be so stoic and impervious to pain that we once were under the really ludicrous impression that their bodies feel no pain. That's not it at all. To them, all sensory information coming from the body is just that. It's information. So that they interact completely and deeply and intimately with their bodies every single moment. There's nothing ever wrong with the body. It just simply is. So that if there is pain, they understand why and the purpose that it serves. There's not an emotional rebound to the pain that human experience often has. And as well, in human experience, we go see a medical practitioner or someone who has put themselves out there to be a practitioner of, I can fix this for you. And to be clear, I'm talking mostly about traditional medicine. That there's something wrong, that there's this thing is wrong with me, and so I have to fix this. This thing bothers me, and I have to fix this. And if you've ever read the work, You Can Heal Your Body, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, and as science will now tell you, although they didn't back in 1972 when Louise Hay originally published her book, that what we think and how we feel has a great deal to do with the environment in which the body co-creates with us and brings into our experience those very things that perhaps we need to gain awareness of on a soul path level in this experience. Getting back to the pain part, if someone were to pinch you, you'd likely feel the pinch, and you might also feel or think, well, what the heck? Why did you just pinch me? You'd have a feeling about it. That's not present as such in the animal experience. They certainly do have conflicts among themselves, and those are accompanied certainly by physical altercations in the moment. This last part, though, in the moment, that's the key. Everything for animals is in the moment, and during their moments of conflict, energy is rapidly shifting, just like it does for us, if we're paying attention. Once the energy finds its new place, they move on to the next moment. The past is always a past to them in which they have no interest because it's not the now. And when it comes to medicine, most companion animals are not big fans. Of course, unless it's slathered in peanut butter or dripping with tuna juice. Even then it can be a struggle. And my own sweet Lacey, who transitioned 2 years ago, endured daily at-home infusions of liquid for her kidney disease. And the only thing that got us both through was either canned chicken or tuna. And at that point, I didn't know, but she was already in her window of transition. And I've worked with enough animals to know that most of them choose not to have what they consider to be life-extending treatment. they honestly perceive that the way we extend and extend and extend and push and push and push the body and don't have euthanasia for our experience in most states in the U.S. is, well, barbaric. They truly are puzzled at our treatment of our own form and theirs, again, by extension at times. With most of the traditional medical perspective, the healing of the body is paramount to the extent that it's possible, even if it's hanging on by a very slim thread. I don't agree with that, and most animals I know don't either. They have a wonderful knowingness and acceptance of their life path, and especially when it's nearing the end. They see transition as transition and not as death. And I think perhaps that's why they usually have no fear about their own transition or, frankly, others. And perhaps with medicine as the human experience sees it, something to be used in the treatment, prevention, etc. of disease, animals resonate more with the natural synergy of plant-based medicine because they know that on the planet there is a match for whatever body issue is going on. I've often invited my clients to consider essential oils, flower essences like Rescue Remedy and CBD, honey, etc., to address issues and in accordance with their veterinarian's advice. I will feel it as a medical intuitive if something else is needed, such as actual narcotic medication. And I submit there certainly have been situations such as an animal that has a traumatic brain injury in which only pharmaceutical intervention, human pharmaceutical intervention would work. And I'll be guided in that direction by the animal themselves. They know themselves truly and well inside and out. In the intersection between animal and human, and because we are their stewards, there is more of a shift toward what's called complementary medicine, such as Reiki, CBD, acupuncture, cold laser therapy. Because it's better for the animal's body, and guardians actually report better results with these things than traditional narcotics for such issues like chronic pain. Less side effects, better results, no problem, right? Well, human experience in science means that as stewards, I referenced earlier, we perceive we need to study to make sure what is being used with animals' health isn't causing them harm. And to a certain extent, I would take you back to studies that humans do on animals to make sure that whatever they're using with humans isn't going to cause the humans harm. It seems like we've completely and totally lost our way in our relationship with animals, at least as far as medicine is concerned. And I'm not discounting or saying we shouldn't be disregarding excellent guardians and stewards for them. I just think we're kind of going about it the wrong way. In animal communication, I simply ask, does this fit for you? And I get an immediate answer. Maybe because they don't have anything except the wisdom of the plants to guide them, so it's an instantaneous type of thing versus our, frankly, stop and start kind of method. And as well, some guardians I've worked with really dislike even the thought of their animal taking medicine of any kind. There's a bit of a feeling of it being a weakness or a mark against a being in animal experience who's otherwise seen as perfect. And I don't think that's the answer either. I think a middle ground approach is surely good to achieve. I may have mentioned before the Whole Dog Journal that I've subscribed to since 2008 when I became certified as a canine massage therapist. I really do like the majority of the approach they take on relevant issues such as food, such as training, such as exercise, such as all sorts of things. Again, the title Whole Dog Journal kind of speaks for itself. And they recently had an article about whether or not CBD actually does treat anything successfully in dogs. And I'll put a link to the article in the podcast notes. And I'm quoting from the article. In December of 2018, the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018, the 2018 Farm Act, was signed into law. It removed hemp, defined as cannabis sativa L, with less than 0.3% dry weight of the psychoactive THC from the definition of marijuana in the Controlled Substances Act. And so this legislation removes significant research barriers for both academic and commercial research into CBD, as well as legal barriers for growing and harvesting these plants and refining and selling of the products that contain CBD to the public. And so it's just been a couple of years that researchers were able to actually use CBD legally in their research. A couple of studies that they mentioned in this article. Researchers from Baylor College of Medicine conducted a 4-week randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study with 20 large dogs diagnosed with osteoarthritis. The study found that CBD significantly decreased pain and increased mobility among the dogs receiving the higher doses of CBD or who received it in a liposomal formulation. No adverse effects were observed. And because those dogs in the higher dose group still showed improvement 2 weeks after ceasing the administration of CBD directly, it is suspected that the CBD was addressing the underlying inflammatory issues, which is key. Not only was it alleviating the pain response on the top, if you will, top layer, but it was also addressing the underlying inflammatory issues that was causing the pain. Huge, huge, huge. Secondly, scientists at Colorado State University conducted a 90-day pilot clinical trial to assess the impact of full-spectrum product containing hemp extract with 37 dogs with chronic maladaptive pain, primarily as a result of osteoarthritis. Again, kind of a big thing, unfortunately, with dogs. 32 dogs completed the study, of which 30 showed evidence of improved pain management. At the time of enrollment, 23 dogs were taking gabapentin. With the addition of CBD, 10 of those dogs were able to discontinue the gabapentin, and an additional 11 were able to have their daily dose reduced. The bottom line as a guardian, I think, is to avail yourself of all of the information out there and to resist a fear-based approach to any kind of treatment to help your companion animal through a health issue and process. Whether that's your own fear of what CBD is, whether that is your own fear of, I really don't want my dog who or cat or beloved companion animal who's only 2 or 3 to be on medication for the rest of their life, because that's not the point, the resisting of the medicine. Whatever that happens to be, if it helps them to bring more joy and thrive into their daily life, into their moment-by-moment experience, every single animal on the planet, at least that I've had contact with, would choose that hands down. They get that. And I think regardless of the path that you choose, the broader your approach and the more neutral you keep your own response to whatever is being considered is better health-wise for any body. At least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I invite you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events such as new classes and online psychic fairs. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.